to read a couple of scriptures. First one in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 7, and reading from verse 24. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. "Whoever therefore hears these my words and does them, I will liken him to a prudent man who built his house upon the rock, and the rain came down, and the streams came, and the wind blew and fell upon that house, and it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And every one who hears these my words and does not do them, he shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain came down, and the streams came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and its fall was great." I wish to read another scripture in Corinthians, the first epistle to the Corinthians. First epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, reading from verse 11. Just verse 11. "For other foundation can no man lay besides that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." I would like to speak tonight, with the help of the Spirit, about foundations, something we hopefully all know maybe a little about, as we all live in a house, houses. At the tail end of last year and the beginning of this year, there was a great storm. I forget the name of it. It came in, and in the Aberdeen area, a very large amount of rain fell. I understand about 3 months' rain fell in about 2 or 3 days. There's a house that sits on the bank of the Dee, River Dee, in Aberdeen, Aberdeenshire. Sat there for about nearly 500 years. And when the rain came this one time, the beginning of this year, so much water came down that the banks of the Dee were washed away, the river was enlarged. And this house, which, in fact, not house, castle, Abergeldie Castle, which sat on the banks of the Dee, the water washed away the banks to within a foot of the back of the house, and the castle was very close to falling into the Dee. The house was close to collapsing. It turned out that the house wasn't built on rock. It was built on a certain amount of rock, but not entirely on the rock. Each one of us, in our lives, we're building. Maybe not houses, maybe not castles, but we're each building something, making something of our lives in some way. The word tonight from these scriptures is, what are your foundations? What are you building on? Many people in this world are building on faith in something, whether it's faith in the systems of men, politicians of this world, to maintain peace and order and calm in the face of terrorists and natural disasters. Many people have faith in money, build up great reserves of money and riches, and have faith that that will protect them from any disaster or event that befalls them. Many people have faith in the social system of men, in the laws and order in this country, that it will protect them from things. Many have faith in insurance. They buy insurance that will protect them from unforeseen events. They would have house insurance or car insurance, or everyone knows about that sort of thing. But I want to talk to you tonight about your soul, your never-dying soul. What are you building your life, your soul? What is that founded on? The parable which the Lord Jesus spoke in Matthew 7 starts out, "Whoever therefore hears these my words and does them." Have you heard the words of the Lord Jesus? Have you heard him calling to you? The Lord Jesus is calling to you tonight. Speaks in the Gospels. In the great day of the feast, the Lord Jesus stood up and cried out, "All ye who thirst and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest." Not quoting quite correct, but that's the gist of the words. The Lord Jesus is calling you to him tonight. These are his words about the man who builds his house upon the rock and the man who builds his house upon the sand. Now my question to you tonight is your faith standing on the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, the rock? Is your faith built on him? Or is it built on the systems of men which will fail, which will come tumbling down one day? Which will come tumbling down inevitably when you die, because these systems of men cannot take you through death. The Lord Jesus alone is the rock which can bring you through death and out the other side into life eternal. There is no other rock, no other thing on which you can base your life which can do that. No other person has died for you. No other person has loved you so much that they've come to this world, lived here a perfect life, pleasing to God in every way, and being able to die for you, and their blood should be able to wash away every sin. That's the Lord Jesus. His blood can wash away every sin. All of us in this room are sinful, myself included. There is no one in this world that can claim to be perfect and sinless. But the Lord Jesus, he is perfect. He is sinless. And 2,000 years ago, he walked on this earth, came into this world, and lived a perfect life in every way pleasing to God. At least twice, he was glorified. Once on the Mount of Transfiguration, his disciples witnessed him. Three disciples witnessed him being glorified. His face and clothes shone with his glory. There's no other one in this world whom we can turn to who's been glorified in that way under the power of God. But the Lord Jesus, he's the one of whom I speak of tonight as being the rock, the foundation on which you should be building. There's no other one who has loved you so much as the Lord Jesus. Maybe your parents love you, and they should do. But maybe you're bad in that. Love occasionally fades a wee bit. But no other one in this world has loved you like the Lord Jesus. And no other one in this world has died for you because they loved you so much. And no other one in this world, in their death, could wash away your sins. When the Lord Jesus died, he was crucified, put to trial. They could find nothing wrong with him. And yet they still crucified him, murdered him. But when he was hung up to die on that cross, there was 3 hours of darkness. And those 3 hours of darkness are the greatest 3 hours of darkness that have ever happened in this world. Because in that 3 hours of darkness, the Lord Jesus took the punishment that was due to myself for my sins. And he bore it for me so that I never have to face that punishment ever because of what the Lord Jesus has done. Now the question is, did the Lord Jesus bear that punishment for you too? Have you believed in him? Do you believe in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, the one who is sent here? Do you believe that he died for you? That his blood that was shed on that tree can wash away all your sins such that you can be made have peace with God. Peace with God the Father. Come into relationship with God. That's what God is offering in the gospel tonight. Peace with himself, the Almighty Creator God. Think of that, the creator of the universe, the one who holds your life in his hands. Our lives are but a vapor in the hands of God. And yet, this is the one in whom we've sinned and offended most greatly, because we're all sinners. This is the Almighty God. And his message to us tonight is that he has sent his Son to this world that we might live, we might have life eternal through the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus has died for us. That was the will of God, that the Lord Jesus should die for us. When there is sin, the only way for remission of sins is for shedding of blood. In the Old Testament, we read of that. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, God killed an animal and made coats of skin for them. An animal had to die. There had to be a sacrifice for sin. And their sins were temporarily covered. For us today, the Lord Jesus has died. He shed his blood. Made a perfect offering. There never has to be another offering for sin ever again because of what the Lord Jesus has done. That's the one of whom I speak tonight, my Saviour, and I think the Saviour for many people in this room as well. But the question is he your Saviour? Is there someone in this room tonight who doesn't yet know the Lord Jesus for themselves? Is there someone yet in this room who hasn't yet come to know the Lord Jesus for themselves, put their faith and trust in him? Because if not, the Bible makes it very clear. There's only one alternative to going to heaven. And that's going to the place of eternal destruction, hell. The place which was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was not God's intention that man should go to hell. But it is necessary that it should happen. Because God is a holy God and cannot tolerate sin in his presence. But it's not God's mind that that should be the case. Because he's provided the Lord Jesus that this should not happen to us if you believe in the Lord Jesus. We read in the other scripture in Corinthians, very simply, that for other foundation can no man lay besides that which is laid, which is the Lord Jesus, which is Jesus Christ. There are many foundations in this world being laid, but there's one that's been laid already and prepared for us, the Lord Jesus. If you build your life upon the Lord Jesus, he will take you right the way through, past death, into life eternal. It speaks in John's Gospel about the love of God that's been shown out towards us. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. God, in the writings in the Bible, it's made very clear that the Lord Jesus came here, that we shouldn't have to. He didn't come here for judgment. He came here to give us life eternal. And the only thing we have to do is to believe in him. There's no great works. The hymn we sung of says that, it sung at the beginning, said that there's nothing that we can do. There's absolutely nothing we can do to improve our state before God, to earn, merit, or deserve going to heaven, to be in God's presence forever. Because we're sinful. We cannot do it. And it doesn't matter, because the Lord Jesus has already done that, completed that work. On the cross, his final cry was, "It is finished." The work was completed. The work that God demanded to answer the question of sin, the Lord Jesus completed and finished, and met the sin problem for us has ever, forever been set as removed, washed away. Our sins can be washed away. And the only question left is, are we standing in the good of that? Are we building on the foundation, the Lord Jesus? And if you read on in Corinthians, it then mentions about what we are building, what materials are we using to build with. We mentioned in the reading about the treasure, and it speaks here of precious stones, gold, silver, and other things, the treasure. Do we have an appreciation of the Lord Jesus? Is it affecting our hearts, what the Lord Jesus has done for us? Are we putting aside having treasure in heaven? Ultimately, that's where God wants us to be. The hope of the believer in the Lord Jesus is to be in heaven forever with the Lord Jesus, where he is now. The Lord Jesus not only died, but he rose again, was resurrected, and sits now at the right hand of God in heaven. That's the foundation of whom I'm speaking tonight, the only one in whom you can build on and be absolutely assured that there is a way through for you into life eternal. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, my Saviour, and I hope the Saviour of many in this room. The message of the Gospel is very simple. It's a message of love. God loves you so much. God loves me so much that he sent his only Son. And all you have to do is believe in him. That's all it is. It's so simple. And yet there's people in this world that don't want to believe in him. This world crucified my Saviour. They put him to death. They couldn't find anything wrong with him, yet they put him to death. But tonight, there's an opportunity for you to believe in him, to acknowledge him, to put your faith and trust in him, to build your life upon him as the rock, the foundation that will bring you into life eternal. May everyone here tonight be in that position of having put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and be building their life on the Lord Jesus. May that be the case, for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.